Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Connected.
Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 27, beginning at verse 2. And it says, "On that day, a pleasant vineyard, sing about it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. Every moment I water it. I guard it night and day so that no one can harm it. I have no wrath. If it gives me thorns and briars, I will march to battle against it. I will burn it up, or else let it cling to me for protection. Let it make peace with me. Let it make peace with me. In the days to come, Jacob shall take root. Israel shall blossom and put forth shoots and fill the whole world with fruit." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. These are words of Jesus. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that your joy, my joy, may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." This is the good news of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for this life-giving message which you share with us this day. We would pray now that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts might find acceptance in your sight, for it is through Christ our Lord we pray it. Amen. These past several weeks we have looked at different examples of the way Jesus, the master storyteller, the great illustration giver, uses metaphor to describe who he is and what he has come to do. A metaphor being a figure of speech which uses something it is not to describe something it is. For example, we hear Jesus say, "I am the good shepherd," even though we have no record of his ever attending to sheep. Even as we hear him say, "I am the bread of life, I am the gate. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, the light of the world, the resurrection, and the life," and so on. So while each of these is beneficial in and of itself in helping us understand who Jesus is and what he came to do, I find this teaching that we're looking at this morning to be particularly so, particularly helpful, particularly understandable, particularly impressive, even for those of us who are not master gardeners, who really do not have a green thumb at all. One does not need to have any experience with plants, much less vineyards, in order to understand what Jesus means when he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." He is speaking of a connectedness that is essential to life, be it horticulturally, be it socially, be it spiritually. He begins this teaching by saying, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower." All of Jesus' I am sayings speak of that essential connectedness that he has with God the Father, and this particularly so, this saying particularly so. As he will say elsewhere in the Gospel of John, "I and the Father are one," a remarkable claim. certainly that only Jesus can make. But here he says, I am the true vine, a meaning perhaps lost on us modern day hearers, but a first century listener would have been very attentive to that. Israel of old was referred to as being God's vine, God's vineyard, as Oscar just read to us from Isaiah chapter 27. Israel was designed and intended to grow and flourish and bring God's goodness, to bring God's good news to the whole world. So here, Jesus is saying, I am the fulfillment of that vision. I am now the true Israel. I am the root of the matter. And just as I am connected to the Father, so you must also be connected to me, as branches are to the vine. If you're going to bear fruit for the kingdom of God, you need to be essentially connected to me. That's a remarkable claim that Jesus is making here. Jesus demonstrates his masterful use of storytelling here because this metaphor makes sense even for us who really have no understanding of horticulture at all. Even the youngest child understands that in order for a branch to grow, it has to be connected to the vine, to the trunk, to its life source. And without that essential connection, it withers and dies. I had a wonderful biology teacher in eighth grade from whom I learned a lot. But curiously, even now, these many years later, I remember a particular question he asked on a test that I missed simply because I overthought it. Now, as I recall, the question was, when does a plant stop growing? Now, is that a softball question or what? I don't know what I was thinking, but I think I gave some elaborate answer, which ended up being wrong, when all he was really looking for was an answer which was as simple as, when it has died. You see, stating the obvious, a plant, a tree, a branch stops growing, stops producing fruit when it gets cut off from its life source. Speaking horticulturally, speaking socially, speaking spiritually, this connectedness is essential. So Jesus here says, I am the vine. I am essentially connected to God the Father. And you are the branches. And so it is essential that you be connected to me. And out of that connection, you then are connected to every other branch. The famed preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick, and I think probably preaching on this text, offers this illustration. We ask the leaf, are you complete in yourself? And the leaf answers, no, my life is in the branches. We ask the branch, and the branch says, no, my life is in the trunk. We ask the trunk, and the trunk answers, no, my life is in the root. We ask the root, and the root answers, no, my life is in the trunk and the branches and the leaves. Keep the branches stripped of their leaves, and I will die. And so it is, concludes Fosdick, with the great tree of being. Nothing is completely and merely individual. There is an essential connectedness to all of life without which we wither and die. Think for a moment of all of the relationships, all of the connection points you have in your life, beginning with family of origin. It's appropriate that we look at this lesson today of all days, this Mother's Day, which is the first and primary source of our lives. Think of your parents and your grandparents and your siblings, of your children, of your extended family, of your aunts and uncles and cousins, of all of those points of connection which have helped to shape and inform you and your sense of being who you are. Think of your circle of friends, past and present, of your colleagues and your classmates, of your neighbors. All of these are essential points of contact and connectedness which give our lives a sense of meaning and purpose and fulfillment. And take any of those points of contact away from us, and something within us begins to wither and die, doesn't it? We know that because we have experienced exactly that in this past year, haven't we? Ask any therapist or pastor, and they will tell you that loneliness, in all of its various manifestations, is the problem they deal with most often, even among people who are fully engaged and seemingly living full and active lives. Toss in there a pandemic with well-founded guidance for us to stay isolated and distanced and masked, and it is easy to see why loneliness has affected even the most positive, upbeat, and optimistic among us. I know of no more potent killer than isolation, writes Dr. Philip Zimbardo, former professor of psychology at Stanford University. There is no more destructive influence on physical and mental health than the isolation of you from me and us from them. And it has been shown to be the central agent in the etiology of depression and paranoia and schizophrenia and a wide variety of disease states. Now, much of the isolation that we have experienced or are experiencing is caused by the pandemic. Which of us has not been touched and heartbroken, either personally or anecdotally, by stories of those in hospitals or care facilities or prisons, those who are distanced from family, perhaps those who are isolated even in their own homes, who have been totally cut off from loved ones, from the intimacy of touch and comfort, many at the very end of their lives. We have offered prayers and we continue to offer prayer for any who have had to endure the heartbreaking effects of that kind of isolation. But we also need to be aware that not all of the isolation we experience, not all of the loneliness we feel is disease-related. Much of us is also of our own making. We, by choice, have, and I would say over recent decades, increasingly isolated ourselves from our neighbors by building walls of wood or shrubs or berms around our homes, by closing windows, by drawing shades, by cocooning ourselves and closing in at the end of the day. We have created our own walls of isolation. Others have chosen to isolate themselves from those with whom they disagree, be it politically or socially or spiritually, choosing only to listen to be connected to those who look like them and act like them and think like them and believe like them. Still others have withdrawn into the isolation of a computer screen and an online presence, void of human contact or feeling. And the effect of all of these are the same. By building walls, real or imagined, we have created a society of lonely, isolated individuals who lack the essential points of connectedness in life, with God and with others. And the devastating effects of this are evident in countless ways. Lest you think I'm talking only about someone else, I'm really not. I'm really talking about us. You, me, the church, the body of Christ. Do you hear the essential nature of this connectedness, even as we speak of us as being the body of Christ? I clipped and filed an article from a magazine printed in January of 1995. Titled Cruising the Electronic Highway, because I found it both fascinating and unimaginable. It was reporting on that year's Consumer Electronics Show and told of a new invention called virtual reality, which boasted of enabling users to experience monster dunks from Shaquille O'Neal or a fastball thrown by Roger Clemens, from the privacy of your own home, simply by putting on a set of what they were calling virtual reality goggles. It imagined being able to read any magazine, any newspaper, any book from a huge collection of electronic libraries, and then turn the pages electronically. Of being able to shop electronically from the comfort of your own home, and of being able to view at least television shows on as many as 500 different channels anytime you want. I remember cutting out that article and filing it because not only did I find it fantastically unbelievable, but because I read into it a certain detrimental inevitability for the future of the church, even though church was nowhere mentioned in the article. I wondered then, as I do still today, what would the church look like if we all experienced it from the isolation of our own homes? Fast forward 26 years, right? We know what that looks like. We know what that feels like, don't we? This is exactly what we have, by necessity, experienced over the past 14 months and counting. Now, admittedly, we have been tremendously grateful for, and still are, for the technologies that we have been able to use so well. In fact, I find it interesting that, you know, I planned this sermon months ago, wrote the sermon last Thursday. Little did I know it would be on this day when so many people are saying, you know, it's a little rainy today, I think I'm just going to worship virtually. But the numbers of those who have experienced worship and programs with us this past year has been staggering. And the beauty of it is, there are folks around the country and some around the globe who have been part of the church, TAB church family during this season. But considering how grateful we are and how much we have gained from that sense of connectedness in isolation, we need also to consider anew what we have lost in that time apart. Admittedly, being able to log into worship from home has been both comfortable and convenient, but consider also the deteriorating effects of isolation and loneliness that we have experienced in ourselves and in others, simply because we have been apart from one another. A couple of weeks ago, a couple walked out of worship, approached me literally emotion-filled, saying how good it felt to be back in in-person worship again because they didn't realize how much they had missed it. I mean, think about that. We spent a year trying to figure out how to stay separated from one another, distanced from one another, and now it's time for us to start figuring out how we can safely, comfortably, respectfully come back together again. For the past several months now, we've been back in in-person worship. We've been back offering in-person or hybrid meetings and gatherings. And so let me encourage you to keep thinking about how you are ready to reconnect as well. We'll continue to do our part at TAB of making sure that we are safe and clean. And so I would say if you're vaccinated, if you're willing to be respectful of the concerns of those around you, whether they are your concerns or not, and if you are able to return to worship and activities, I want to encourage you to do so. And I'm not saying this because I think we need to increase numbers in any ways. I'm thinking about the importance, though, of our being reconnected once again. And that not only to God, I know we can worship in our isolation and individually, but that is not the way God designed us to be. He designed us to be related beings, connected to Him and to one another, as branches are to the vine, its source of nourishment and life. And without that essential connectedness, vertically and horizontally, something within us begins to wither and die. there are so many other aspects of this teaching of Jesus saying, I am the vine and you are the branches, that we could touch on. We won't today, so we'll have to revisit this passage another day. But let me close by reminding you of the purpose Jesus gives for this essential connectedness of which he speaks, us with him and then us with one another. It is so that we can be fruitful, that we can bear fruit, that we can do what God has created and designed us to do. For God has intended us to be fruitful in the work of his kingdom, to bear the fruit of righteousness, to bear the evidence of living in a right relationship with him and with others. Another text we're going to look at in a couple of weeks is Paul writing to the Galatians as he speaks of the fruit, the fruitfulness of living in that kind of relationship, the fruit of the Spirit as he speaks of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, and self-control. That fruit is produced in our lives when we are rightly connected to Jesus Christ and then to one another as our branches to the vine. And what do we experience in that connectedness? Jesus concludes this teaching, as will I, by saying, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Friends, this is what Jesus offers to us, his joy. This is what he desires that we experience in our relationship with him, joy. The joy of belonging, the joy of abiding, the joy of being fruitful, the true joy which can only be found when we are rightly related, rightly connected to the true source of life. This experience of his joy is his desire for us, for each of us. And it is my prayer for us, for each of us. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, thank you that you have invited us to be part of your body, part of your body, that you have invited us to be a branch that is connected to you, the vine. And we become that simply by responding to an invitation you have already given to us. We don't need to create this. We are created in you. So I would pray, O Lord, this day that you would speak to us collectively and then individually as to those ways that we might become connected and reconnected to you, the source of all life, so that we may bear fruit that brings honor and glory to you. For these and all things we pray through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.